Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I read that as we normally read that, but that's really not the way it's supposed to be read. This is the way it's supposed to be read. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So Paul is not saying we don't wrestle. He is saying we do not wrestle like the unsaved wrestle. They wrestle against other people. But we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, because flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God, the Bible said. Praise God. So my subject tonight is, for we wrestle. The first three words, for we wrestle. You may be seated. Wrestling against flesh and blood. What does that mean? Getting your neighbor told off. Punching somebody in the nose. He said that's not what we do. That's against flesh and blood. That's minor league. For flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. But God said you're not in the minor leagues. You're major league players. You're big time battlers. And the battles that you are facing matter. There's people fighting about things that don't matter every day. But we wrestle, according to the Word of God. Among other things, we wrestle against spirit, against principalities, which is authorities. We wrestle against powers. We wrestle against the rulers of the darkness of this world, demons. We wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. What is that? I studied that out, just that phrase. It means the architects of the Antichrist. You know, the Bible teaches that we are kingdom builders through God's Holy Spirit. But there's another group, and they are the architects of the Antichrist. They're building a government and a system for the Antichrist. We wrestle against the architects of the Antichrist. God's best is reserved for the wrestlers. For the Jacobs, not the Esau's. For the stealers of blessing, not the sellers of birthright. The meek may inherit the earth, but since the day of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffer violent, and the violent take it by force. God loves wrestlers, people that just will not be content with where they are, when they know the promise of God has not yet been fulfilled in them. They won't take no for an answer. They won't be turned away. An unanswered door does not mean that they will not knock again. A refusal does not mean that they will not ask again. A treasure not found does not mean that they will stop seeking. They are wrestlers. They simply do not give up. Jude would write, in his little chapter in the third verse, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." And when you look at that word contend, it means struggle or wrestle. You struggle for the faith. You wrestle for the faith. You simply will not give it up. There are people all over this globe that consider themselves to be Christians. They are Christians by osmosis, the fact that they've been around Christians and they've just adapted their testimony and adopted their lifestyle. Or perhaps it's a genealogical trip and their mama and their daddies were Christians, and so they are. But those people that just happen to be Christians are not wrestlers. It's only those people that have been digged from the horrible, miry clay. It's only those that came out from among the world, and they realize they escaped. It's only for those that were on the outside looking in that are now on the outside able to look, and the inside able to look on the outside. Those are the wrestlers, the people that will not be content with things as they are, but they are on a quest for things that God has promised this generation. I believe that there are promises that are unique to every generation, but I believe the greatest promises that God has ever made are unique to the 21st century, because I believe it's the apex. I believe it's the climax. I believe it's the time when Christ himself shall come. I believe it's a time when his Holy Spirit shall fall like rain. And so those people that are asleep in Laodicea are not my people. My people are on fire. My people are watchmen on the wall. My people are not followers of Esau. They're not Edomites. They're Israelites. They are those people that are on fire for the Lord. And they demand that God's promise come to them and their household, their children and their families, their church and their county, their state and their nation. They simply will not give in. Prayer is not something that has been discarded by them, but something that is revered by them as an ability to affect hell, heaven, and earth. They are wrestlers in the kingdom of God. And I salute those among me tonight that are wrestlers in Living Way Church, and those that are watching by internet around the world, that you have not satisfied yourself to be simply Walsall Wan and one of the crowd, but you are wrestlers that say, I will not be denied. God said it and I believe it. I stake out a claim. I'll stay here until it happens. I'll turn it around. I'll see ugly turn to beauty. I'll see ashes turn to beauty. I'll see fire rekindled from the ashes. I'll see the wind blow again. I'll feel the power of the living God surge in my spirit. I will wrestle for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Hallelujah. Que sera, sera might have been a beautiful song 10 decades ago, but it's a terrible place to be. What will be, she sang. And a lot of people adapt that in life, and pitifully some people adapt that in church. Just come and sit down. But friend, I tell you that you choose to be what you're going to be. You choose to have what you're going to have, because God is open for business and heaven does not have a closed sign on the pearly gate. He's waiting for those that will rush the gate and make spiritual demands and say, we will not leave until we have possessed the land that God has promised us. And so Paul said, for we wrestle. For we wrestle. How long has it been since you've wrestled? In other words, looked at something and said, that ain't right. That should not be happening to me. That should not be happening to my church. That shouldn't be happening to my family. That shouldn't be happening to my friends and my converts. I'm simply not going to be que sera, sera. I'm going to stand up and demand that something happen, because I have the authority by God that I can bind and I can loose. I can speak and angels salute. I can talk and devils tremble. I can shout and God smiles. I am not a non-entity. I'm a force to be reckoned with in hell. I'm a force to be reckoned with on earth. And I'm a force to be reckoned with in heaven. Praise God. I'm a wrestler, and watch out. I'm fixing to take a hold of something and wrestle with it until it turns out to be what I want it to be. Can you give God some praise in this house? We wrestle not as the world wrestles. They wrestle against flesh and blood. The first great victory that you ever obtain in life will not be that you became the president of your company or you became a one-man ministry. The greatest and first victory you will ever win is when you wrestle with yourself and come out victorious. When you bring this flesh under submission. It's amazing how we serve the flesh. Is there anything better on a cold winter night when you worked hard and your body is tired and you slip into a comfortable bed? And those of us from the north have not lost the habit of having an electric blanket. Oh, if you don't have an electric blanket, you don't know what you're missing. You need to leave this church and go straight to Walmart and see if they got an electric blanket to fit your bed. Woo! What do you mean about pampering this flesh? We pamper this flesh. We buy it clothes. We sacrifice to make sure the Twinkie supply doesn't run out. We make sure it's got all the enchiladas and the tacos. Oh, and now guacamole is going higher. There's a shortage, but it doesn't matter. We're going to pay whatever they demand to have our guacamole. Why? Because we love this flesh. But at some point in time, you have to discern, I want my flesh to be my servant and not my master. That's a big victory. And most people never live to wrestle against their own flesh and finally stand up and put the belt around them and say, I am the champion of all times, like Muhammad Ali. I have overcome my flesh. The Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul. What a man. What a man. What he did for God once he quit being a terrorist. When he got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, he made a change. That's the reason why I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's good to have people to come in and smile and write a check and say, we sure enjoyed the music. That's good. But really what I want more than that is I want to see people come in and I want to see God transform them and change them. I don't see as much transformation as I want to see. I want to see drug addicts addicted to Jesus Christ. I want to see winos drinking of the new wine. I want to see prostitutes loving the kingdom of God. I want to see transformed lives. You say, why? Because I know it's possible, because it happened to Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road. And it happened to me in Mooresville, Indiana, because I was transformed by the power of Almighty God. But the Apostle Paul was a man that I could only desire to be like. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He was a soul-winning machine all by himself. He set the precedence of victory for 2,000 years by what he accomplished. But oh, his testimony is scary. Because if he was dealing with what he was dealing with, what about me? For I know that in me, I'm quoting him now in Romans 7:18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Ooh, I don't like that. Because you're the Apostle Paul. I follow you as you follow Christ. Don't tell me your old flesh is that ugly, that your flesh is that wicked and that mean. There dwelleth no good thing in me, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, in my flesh, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from the body of this death? You'll never hear that on Christian television. You'll never hear that self-abasement. But the Apostle Paul understood that his flesh was not his friend, but it was an enemy that could be made a slave and a servant. But you got to keep your foot on it. My friend Jonathan Stringfellow has a friend, and that friend has some flaws in his life. And I told him some time ago, I said, I believe he's doing better. He said, I've thought that for 20 years. He don't do better. Don't let him up off the mat. Friend, you can't let your flesh up off the mat. You'll be as bad as you used to be. You got to keep your foot on your own throat. You've got to keep your headlock on your own being. You've got to bring this flesh under. You've got to wrestle with it every day. And the Apostle Paul would say all of this. But oh, praise God, what a victor he was, because then he would shout from the rooftop, I die daily. And then he would say, and I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now I find encouragement in that. He was just as fleshly as you are, and I am. And he admitted it, but he said, it does not stop me from doing all things. For in Christ, I am more than a conqueror. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God, because I wrestle against my flesh. Look around at all these empty pews. We've got enough people that consider this their church to fill this building twice. But every one of those empty places on those pews represents somebody that wrestles with their flesh on a Wednesday night and loses. And you sit here Wednesday after Wednesday, and it's amazing how consistent the crowd is, because about 99% of them are the same people every Wednesday night. I don't know what that tells a saint, but it tells a pastor that there is a core in this church that wrestles against flesh and blood. You're 62 years old. You're 71 years old. You're 39 years old. You've worked like a dog today. And your body said, please take me home and lay me down. And you said, no, you're not going to go home flesh. You're going to go to church and praise your Creator. Why? Because you wrestle against yourself. And there is a spirit inside of you, a law inside of you that is greater than your flesh. Do you understand that you're a weird individual? Do you understand that you're not also run? Did you know that you're at the head of the pack? Did you know you're an overcomer? Did you know you're David? Did you know you can kill giants? Did you know you can slay enemies? Because let me tell you this, if you can wrestle and defeat your own flesh, there's not a demon out of hell that can hold you a candle, because your flesh has greater resistance than the demons. Praise God for those that pray when they don't feel like praying, for coming to church when they don't feel like coming to church, that praise when they don't see on the horizon what they want to see, but they praise anyway. You are wrestlers, for we wrestle, and we wrestle against our own flesh. Can you give yourself a big hand? You're something. You're amazing. You're a conqueror. Now that you have learned to overcome your flesh, nothing can stand in your way. You can be what you want to be, have what you want to have, say what you want to say, accomplish what you want to accomplish, confess what you want to confess, obtain what you want, because you're a wrestler that simply will not give up. Whoa, you're something. It's all right, because you're not boasting. The Apostle Paul could boast in Christ because he continually kept his flesh under. If you keep your flesh under, you can brag on Christ. You can say, look what the Lord has done for me. Look who I am now. Look how far I have come. Look the turnaround I've made. Look at the productivity of my life. Compare me with my sisters and my brothers. Look at me compared to the people from the hood. Look how far the Lord has brought me. Because you keep yourself under, it's all right to brag on what Christ has done for you. Look in the mirror. I don't know why Muhammad Ali's on my mind tonight. Look in the mirror and say, I'm so pretty. I'm so pretty. George Foreman, he's so ugly, but I'm so pretty. Remember that? Oh, I loved him. He had so much personality. You need to look in the mirror and say, the devil, he's so ugly, but oh, I'm so pretty. Because I have been formed in the image of Christ, and I am a wrestler, and I won't give in. I'm an overcomer. Ain't nothing the devil can do about it, because I can overcome every weapon that is formed against me, because I'm washed in the blood, filled with the Spirit of the living God, know the name that is above every name, know the secret codes of the kingdom of God, can bind devils and loose angels. That's who I am. I'm a wrestler. Oh, give God some praise. Oh, I'm feeling good. I feel the Holy Ghost. I love it when I feel it on the outside. coming in. But I like it better when I feel it on the inside going out. When I just know the Holy Ghost is just churning up inside of me. It's like a river. It's like a river flowing out of my belly. It's that description that Isaiah gave us of like the water flowing out from beneath the tabernacle door. I feel that here tonight. It wouldn't be surprised to me at all that somebody would have a Holy Ghost praise that would result in their body being healed tonight. It wouldn't surprise me that somebody would have a Holy Ghost fit in this house and praise God and overcome their flesh, spell over on the devil, that when you get to your job on the morning, the boss said, come in here, and you shut the door, and he said, I want to promote you. I believe somebody might have that praise factor in this service tonight. I believe something's going on in somebody's house, somebody's body, somebody's life. God is doing something somewhere. Give the Lord a shout. Give the Lord a praise. Look at somebody and say, I'm a wrestler. Say, watch me. I'll grab you in a minute and throw you to the ground. I'm just a born wrestler. Praise God. I'm not giving in. I'm not giving in to my flesh. My spirit man is bigger than my flesh man. My flesh man is temporal, temporary. But my spirit man is eternal. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's number one. How are we doing on time? Number two, wrestle with the adversary. Paul said this. After the manner of men, I have fought. I love this mysterious phrase. I've looked at it since I was a teenage preacher. For I have fought with the beast at Ephesus. That beast of Ephesus has always intrigued me. He doesn't define it much, enough that we know it's not men. It's at a higher plane. And we do know that apparently he was victorious over the beast of Ephesus because there is a big church in Ephesus that he started. He overcome those beasts of Ephesus. We know they're the adversarial emissaries of the devil. And he said, I fought with them. What advantage? He said, what good did it do if I fought and defeated the beast of Ephesus if the dead rise not? He said, all of this wouldn't matter. Except there is an eternal God that's got eternal kids, and we're going to live forever somewhere. And praise God, we will be resurrected. And so he said, I wrestle with the adversaries at Ephesus, and I won. Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Peter said that because he could say, resist and be steadfast in the faith, because there is the ability to wrestle against the adversary and subdue him and get him off of your back and put him under your feet. But perhaps the best story about that is the story in the book of Daniel, chapter 10, when Daniel was there and he had made up his mind that Israel was going to be restored. And the kingdom of God was going to be restored. And he prayed, and he prayed, and nothing happened. And 21 days later, an angel showed up and said, Daniel, we heard your prayer in heaven when your words were first spoken, but 21 days, the adversary from Persia is a type of hell, a demon from hell, came to stop your prayers. I had to call for assistance, but we defeated that Persian demon simply because, Daniel, you would not be requited. You would not stop. You simply wouldn't give in. Friend, there are some people in this building that have prayed, and you have not got your answer yet. Let your eyes be open to the horizon, and there you see an angel that is fighting with an adversary. But believe me or not, the truth is that angel will overcome that adversary, and your little daughter will be healed. Your son will be saved. It's delayed but not denied. God knows that you're a wrestler and you won't give up. just because there's a little procrastination or a little pain, you're not giving up. You're a wrestler. New Orleans, Louisiana. A woman was married to a man that seemed to be the devil incarnate. He used to come to church sometimes just because he could cause a scene. He'd curse ushers when they put the bucket before him. He was the meanest man in New Orleans, Louisiana. And she was the greatest saint in New Orleans, Louisiana. She told her pastor, said, "Pastor, I decided I'm not going to live with a man like this." And he said, "Well, normally I don't think divorce is in order." But she said, "Oh, no, I'm not going to divorce him. I'm going to save him." He said, "Are you sure?" She said, "I'm sure." He said, "How do you go about that?" "I preached at him for 20 years and he hadn't moved a muscle." She said, "I pray. And I'm going to pray of a day." And she said, "I take this vow. There will not be one bite of food comes in my mouth until my husband is saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and baptized." That went on for days and days and days and days. And finally, the pastor went to her and appealed to her and said, "Please, you're going to die of starvation." She said, "That I could do. But I'm not eating until my son," she's a wrestler, a little 97-pound wrestler. And she simply said, "I'm not going to do it until he's saved." And so that night at church, the cussing demon came and sat in the back seat when the altar call was made. He said this, "I don't love God. I don't care about you, preacher, and I don't care about this church. Y'all are a bunch of idiots." But he said, "I love my wife, and if I don't get saved, she's going to kill herself. How do I do it?" He knelt there, and the tears began to flow, and his heart began to break, and he began to share his feelings of pain with the Lord. And remember what I said Sunday, you can touch him with your praise or you can touch him with your pain. He didn't know about praise, so he touched him with his pain. And God came down and gloriously saved him and filled him with the power of the Holy Spirit. And he is, the last time I heard, a marvelous child of the living God, simply because he was married to a wrestler. Pitiful is the man or woman that's not saved, but they're married to a Christian that simply refuses to fight for them. If you married him, you ought to fight for him. If you birthed them out of your womb, lady, you ought to fight for them. That's your flesh and blood. You ought to wrestle with people and demons and whatever that says, "I just won't give them up." What are you going to do? My son is tattooed up. He's a drug addict. He's just totally out of control, but he's still my son. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pluck him like a brand out of the burning. I'm not giving up because I'm a wrestler. I'm a wrestler. Friend, I'm not giving in to this world. I'm not giving in to hell or the devil. I'm going to wrestle. Billy Sunday preached 100 years ago, a great professional baseball player. He became a great evangelist. And he said, "When I got saved, I declared war on the devil." He said, "I'm going to give him a knuckle sandwich." He said, "I'm going to kick him. I'm going to slap him." He said, "I'm going to tear around his face." He said, "I'm going to bite him." And he said, "When I'm old and toothless, I'll gum him until I go off to glory." Just a spirit of wrestling. Say, "I will not give in. I'm just going on. I've got power that other men do not have because God has called me, sent me, ordained me to be a wrestler against the enemies of this time." And so you wrestle. And so he said, "Now, Daniel, I've heard your prayer, and here your request is met." And thirdly, this is the tough one. Some point in time, it will be beyond your comprehension, but you will have to wrestle the very angels of God, the very representatives of heaven. And it's always tougher when you're wrestling family. Jacob was left alone, and they wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And we saw that he prevailed not against him. He touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him and said, "Let me go. The day breaketh," the angel said. And Jacob said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." The angel thought he was having a hold on Jacob. He don't know when the tables turned, but they did. at some point in time, it was not an angel wrestling with Jacob. It was Jacob wrestling with the angel. It was no longer the angel deciding the time slot. It was Jacob saying, you will stay here until I say you can go, because I am a wrestler. You remember who I am? I'm the one that God loves. My brother Esau, that's the one that God hates. Why? Because he refused to wrestle for his birthright. He just gave it away. I was born on the wrong side of the track. I was born at the wrong time. My daddy carried nothing about me. The law guaranteed me nothing. But when I took a hold of the heel of Esau and came out second, I said, wait just a minute, I don't like this position. And I began to wrestle with everything that is around me until, bless God, I've got a birthright now that was not legitimate. And heaven said, that's not quite right. Right or not, I've got it. And God said in his heaven, laughed at angels, because he said, him I love. Why? Because he's a wrestler. He simply will not turn loose. The Syrophoenician woman went down the road, and there she saw Jesus. She said, just the guy I'm looking for. Come here, Jesus. What do you want? I want to talk to you. I'm not supposed to talk to you. You're a Gentile. I've come to my people, the Jews. You're going to talk to me. What about my little girl that's demon-possessed? And Jesus said, it's not meet for me to take the children's bread and give it to Gentiles. But even the Gentiles, the dogs, she said, you're nothing but a dog. She said, even the dogs get the crumbs from the table. I'm going to be an annoyance to you, Jesus, the rest of your ministry. How are you going to like that? Everywhere you go, I'll show up. And I will say, he made promises that he healed, but he didn't heal my daughter. Jesus, I will embarrass you the rest of your ministry. And Jesus just laughed and laughed, because this is what he's looking for. People that don't care anything about time, race, dispensation, just don't care. I am made in your image, and you can't stop me. Don't relegate me to being a Gentile. I declare I'm a Jew of this moment. You will heal my daughter. And Jesus was astounded at her faith. And at that very moment, her little daughter that was demon-possessed was rid of the spirit. And Jesus celebrated that, because he had found a wrestler among the crowd. That's what Jesus is looking for in America, in San Antonio, at Living Way Church. He's just looking for those people that say, for we wrestle. We just won't quit. We just won't quit. We wrestle. In 1990, I went to my banker, six payments behind on the building next door, out of money. And the banker said, you need to declare bankruptcy. And I said, never will we declare bankruptcy. And it wasn't but a short time that those payments were all caught up and we had money in the bank. And I don't think anything changed, except we just wouldn't quit wrestling, because that's what we do. We wrestle when we're bankrupt. Rather than signing a piece of paper, we sign a decree with heaven and say, you said you would supply all of our need, and I need a financial miracle. When the doctor looks at Becky and says, you've got a tumor in your eye, you've got to have a miracle, we just wrestle. Come to church and wrestle and go back, and the doctor said, I've made a mistake. Somebody told me Sunday, I just had this terrible report, but I went back to the doctor, and he said he made a mistake. Let me just, for you doctors up there watching, let me just give you some advice. It makes you look bad when you have to say that you made a mistake. Let me just make you like yourself a little better. Say it was just exactly like I said it was. You had a tumor. You had a cancer. It was there. But while you were sleeping, God, your creator, took it away. You don't have to say you made a mistake, doctor, because you didn't make no mistake. That's the reason why you went to school and got the diploma on the wall. You're a little smarter than most of us, and you worked a little harder. So don't be selling yourself short saying you made a mistake. You didn't make no mistake. The divine physician came while we were away. And praise God, he adjusted our blood pressure. He took away the leukemia. He dismissed the tumor. He fixed the cancer. But why would he do that for you? And he didn't do it for everybody else in the hospital. For we wrestle and they give in. We just don't give in. For we wrestle. We wrestle. We wrestle. when I was preaching on the evangelistic field in the Metroplex, there was a serial rapist. He was raping a woman every week. And outside of our church, most people were gone. The secretary of the General Dew was one of the last to leave that big church. She walked out to her car. He was waiting with a gun. He would rape him and kill him. She got in that car. He said, start the engine. Told her where to go and where to drive. And she began to go, shut that up. She said, for an hour, we drove around the streets of Fort Worth. He was cursing, and I was speaking in tongues. And finally, he said, stop this car. I'm getting out. You know why she wasn't raped? For we wrestle. We wrestle. We wrestle. You know why you're not going to be fired? You wrestle. You know why if you're fired, you won't be out of a job 3 days? Because we wrestle. Everything the devil means for evil, for the wrestlers, the Lord turns it to good. For we wrestle. Hallelujah. Everybody is familiar with the story of the young 10-year-old boy in Atlanta that was in his driveway, and they picked him up to kidnap him, and they were going to do no telling what to him. But when he got in that car, the kidnapper, the boy said later, he cursed and drove, but while he was cursing and driving, little Willie was singing, every praise, every praise. Do you know how long that took? 3 hours. Have you ever been at gunpoint for 3 hours? Have you ever had a murderer at your beck and call for 3 hours? This little 10-year-old boy did. Every praise, every praise. Kidnappers, we praise and we wrestle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. When he was a kidnapper, it wasn't a man. There was a demon spirit in that man. Somebody asked me the other day, why did this couple, I forgot how many kids they had locked up, 21 years of age, some of them, why would they do that? It's demons. It's demons, folks. This is not just psychological problems. People are demon-possessed. But you know what? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle, for we wrestle. And finally, it stops the car and says, get out, Willie. Get out. Can't stand it no more. Danny Russo, oh, who was that? He was buried digging a line for the city up in Washington State. And they gave him no hope because he was 12 feet down, totally submerged with dirt, tons of dirt on him. But they kept digging just to find his corpse. And when they got a little closer, one of the unbelievers said, you know what the guy was doing? He was praying. And he was perfectly well when they got him out of that trench, dead, buried by 12 feet of dirt. Why? Because we wrestle. Just because we're buried don't mean we quit. We wrestle. We wrestle. I don't know what you are facing today, but I challenge you, get it by the throat. Grab it by the ears, look it in the eye, and say, you don't know who you're fooling with, for we wrestle. I'll fight you. I'll fight you at church. I'll fight you at home. I'll fight you on the job. I'll fight you on the bus. I'll fight you on the airplane. I'll fight you because we wrestle. That's just what we do. We wrestle. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Tracy Gallagher in Florida was attacked by a bear while her husband watched on. And that bear drug her. And finally that bear put her head in his mouth. And her husband said later, it was almost comical to hear coming out of a bear's mouth, Jesus, Jesus. His wife, with her head totally inside a bear's big mouth, was saying, Jesus. The bear opened his mouth, shook his head, and wandered off. And she didn't have but a few scratches on her. How do you exist when a bear attacks you? We wrestle. We wrestle. What are you facing tonight as we're standing? What do you face tonight? Doesn't matter, because you wrestle. And wrestlers overcome. Mike Tobin stood in Illinois. And we have ferocious tornadoes up there. He watched the houses beside him be destroyed. He watched his own house be blown away. He watched six people be flung into oblivion. And he stood in the midst of it and recited the Lord's Prayer. And when the TV truck got there, there he stood. They said, "Sir, everything around you's gone. What did you do?" He said, "I recited the Lord's Prayer." What he meant was, we wrestle. God's bigger than a storm. God's bigger than a bear. God's bigger than a dispensational denial. God is bigger than a devil. God is bigger than a problem. God is bigger than a sickness. God is bigger than an edict that somebody writes on paper. If you just wrestle, I'm going to tell you that God will be for you. For our weapons are not mighty. We don't come with swords and knives. We come to you with the very weapons of God that are mighty through God. They pull down strongholds. A little song sang by a saint of God becomes a volatile missile against the kingdom of darkness, and he does not know how to handle it. Three hallelujahs linked together can become a grenade in the face of the adversary. A little dance before the Lord can become a volition of its own power, and the enemy is destroyed. We don't give in. We don't give up. We don't stop. We wrestle. We wrestle. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet, please. Hallelujah. 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 Shiko sandalabaria. It's a sin to devalue God's weaponry. Oh, I just like to sing. Oh, you don't just like to sing. God gave you a song. It's a weapon. It's a weapon. It will cause demons to come to nothing. You ought to read the 149th Psalm once a week. See what it says about praising God. And see what it does. It puts the demon kings in fetters. It brings them to naught. It executes the judgment written. What does that mean? It takes the word of God off of the written page and tattoos it right on the devil's forehead. It executes the written word. Oh, hallelujah. There's nothing that can stop us because we wrestle. I'm just getting to where I want to start preaching now, but I hope you get the gist of it, because I'm going to tell you what, this group tonight is not a normal group. This is just a fraction of Living Way Church, but you're the superstars. You're the first string. We've got other people that are on the injured reserve list. We've got others that are on waivers. But you're the wrestlers. That light right there is burning because of you. Those doors open because of you. Everybody that's got saved here in the last 10 years is because of you. Because you're a wrestler. The devil's wanted to shut this place down and turn out the lights for 43 years. But we've always had enough wrestlers to keep the lights burning and the doors open. And you know what? Until Jesus comes, there's going to be some people in here that say, "For we wrestle." What do you think about that? For we wrestle. Are you going to stop? For we wrestle. We just don't care. My brother, bless his heart, he's been dead a long time. I was 50, so he's been dead 18 years. He loved to fight. Get in a fight at school every day. And I never was in school with him much. He was ahead of me, 7 years older. But he was only about 5'4". And he whipped everybody in school. And I'd hear about that. I couldn't figure out. And one day I just happened to be walking down the hall in that big, in that little school we went to. And he had a big old boy underneath a sink. And he was beating the fire out of him. Every once in a while that big old boy would get loose. But Johnny would grab him. He'd grab that boy that was so, he's 6 inches bigger than he was, outweighed him by 75 pounds. He loved to fight. And he just whipped so many people, so much bigger. He just wouldn't quit. He's just a fighter. He loved to fight. There are people like that. They go to the bar, not mad at nobody, but they have every intention before that bar closes, they're going to get in a fight. They're going to bounce a beer bottle off of somebody's head. That's what they do. That's what I do in the spirit. I ain't backing up. I ain't giving in. I'm wrestling for the faith once delivered to the saints. Praise God. And I can promise you that God rewards it every time. You can be a Jacob and you can be an Esau. The choice is yours. If you choose not to fight, you're an Esau that's lost in the pageantry of the scripture in tears, never to be recalled again. Or you can be a Jacob and be the head of the household, the head of the tribe, and be the apple of God's eye, simply because, for we wrestle. Is there anybody in this building right now that's got a need in your life? And I don't care what it is. It might be you need to get a companion, a husband, a wife saved, that will just make the commitment tonight. I'm going to commit myself to wrestling. It might be financial. It might be physical. It might be a parent. Maybe you've got a parent. They're older. She's older. He's older. You don't know what to do. When your parents get older, it's much different than children. And they become dementia-ridden, and you don't know what to do. There's no problem like that. Maybe you got that. But you just don't give up because you wrestle. And you say, God, tonight you're going to tell me what to do with my parents. God, you're going to tell me what to do with my teenager. God, you're going to tell me what to do about my job. You're going to tell me what to do about my money. I've come, and God, I'm not going to take any guff from the devil. I've conquered my own flesh, and now, God, here I am with you, saying I'm not going to let you go till you bless me and change my name from poverty to prosperity. Change me tonight in Jesus' name. Ha ha. I feel...